Welcome to the Whiskey Congress. Honest, open talk dedicated to speaking the truth to those who are open to hearing it. Black, white, right, left. Most importantly, honest, bold, and fueled by good whiskey. In Whiskey Veritas, we are Whiskey Congress. Join the evolution.
Whiskey Congress is back in session. Steven and I are together in the Cleveland studio. You know I saw you literally just a week ago, but it feels like forever. So good to see you. Same. Good having lunch with you.
Same.
Happy Easter weekend.
So can we just jump to the part where there's something floating in the drink you got me?
No.
I don't know.
Because
that
doesn't make for good audio. I'll get you another cup and a glass in a second.
Sorry. That's why I was staring at it. Like, what the fuck is that?
I was wondering what you were doing.
Anyway, sorry.
So I've been spending my weeks in Baltimore, Maryland, and I woke up on, I think it was Tuesday, to the news that a shipping tanker had crashed into the Francis Scott Key Bridge, collapsing a part of it. And it was surreal to wake up to that.
So I didn't, like, I didn't text you for a while because I didn't want to, like, put you in a panic if you didn't know about it, right? Or whatever. So I was like, I didn't want to be like, hey, are you okay?
I got a lot of those.
You know, and so that's why I was kind of like, you know.
You also know where I'm staying in Maryland.
Yeah, so, and I was like, bridge. Well, he's pretty far away from the bridge, but I was like,
and
God, I hope
in the morning, I wasn't crossing whatever. But yeah, no, a lot of people texted me asking me, like, are you okay? Did this impact you? What's it like in the town? And it was.
I did check in on you, though, so.
Where?
No, I texted you that day.
Okay.
But that's why it was very sort of casual because I was trying to play it cool.
I was
just say thank you.
Thank you. No, it was a catastrophic event. And the weirdness of it was that I've been watching Steve deal with whatever was floating in his glass of water. But it was weird. Like, I'm watching stuff on the news. It's happening, like, right around the corner from where I am. And it was 20 miles away, so it wasn't that close.
Yeah, but still.
Baltimore was the focus of the day. And people were asking me, like, did you hear about it? I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
Did kind of hear about it. Six men died. And that, it, just the thought of it is so horrific. Like,
so can I just throw something out there?
Sure.
It is amazingly horrific, but. And, you know, six lives is six too many, but the fact that it was only six, you know, there was some warning. I know they were trying to keep people off the bridge, and the workers couldn't get off. But, it's tragic for a lot of different reasons. The fact that it could have been so much worse. I don't think anybody on the ship was critically injured.
I don't know. I think there were workers working to fix the bridge or to
working
improve
on
the bridge.
Yeah.
But two of them died in their pickup trucks.
Yeah.
And just the thought of that is so ghastly. I don't know where to go. And then, of course, the people who choose to capitalize on tragedy and make everything.
So before we get into the conspiracy and the weird, right? So we know what happened. You have a cargo ship that is literally the size of Key Tower, right? Which Key Tower, I believe, is the tallest building in Cleveland.
Yeah, probably.
Right? And, I mean, it's a, you know, it's not a skyscraper like the Empire State Building, but it's still, I mean,
it's probably
pretty damn
60 stories at least.
Right. So think about that.
600 feet.
The something that's 600 feet that the ship itself was as wide as the bridge. Okay, and even though they were trying to stop it, all of that had momentum going forward into a support pillar of the bridge, right? And people are like, well, it shouldn't have gone down that easy. I mean, guys.
Okay, totally agree with you. I was listening to CNN on the radio, and they were like, you know, asking what can be done to prevent this in the future. I'm like, you can't build bridges that can withstand.
And maybe you can, but when that bridge was built, they weren't making
1977.
They weren't making ships that were the size of skyscrapers that were going anywhere near something like that, right? Like, so they didn't calculate that in, right? It wasn't, if you want to argue they didn't have the foresight to see that we were going to be building ships the size of fucking skyscrapers, then...
Literally, I mean, two football fields.
Right. I mean, then I guess, yeah, you can criticize them, but... I mean, I don't think the bridge was poorly designed. It just wasn't designed to withstand that type of force. And I don't know what goes into building a bridge, but maybe they have figured out how to account for that now. I don't know. Right? I mean, I don't know how... You know what I mean? Like, I don't know enough about engineering and building bridges to be able to tell you what the latest and greatest is in terms of the standards for building a bridge and whether they calculate in being able to withstand getting hit by something that is literally the size. I think it was something like 200 million pounds. Does that sound right?
I didn't hear the amount, but when you do the math on how much that is, it's ridiculous. I mean, I remember the story about the Edmund Fitzgerald that had like 70 million tons. And it was like, wow, that's a huge number. And this thing was way bigger than the Edmund Fitzgerald. I don't know why I need to bring that up, but it was a great song and a terrible tragedy. The one thing I heard that I actually thought made sense, and this was on CNN, was that ships of that size should be escorted by tugboats so that if something needs to intervene, it's there. And that makes sense to me. I mean, I don't know... traffic-wise, if that's logistically possible, but having something, because, you know, they called it the Mayday, they shut down the traffic, and I put myself in the head of that jackass who's getting told by the police, you have to stop here, you can't proceed, and he's like, oh, I gotta get to wherever. Oh, yeah, thanks. you know what I'm talking about? When they first shut the highway down, I'm sure there were people bitching and moaning and complaining, and then minutes later were like, oh, yes, that was good advice. Thank you for it. So sometimes when there's intervention that impacts your life and you're not happy about it, give it a couple minutes. It might end up being a good thing. Now, I do want to get us into the conspiracy nonsense.
Yeah, I mean, just the weight of the ship was 95,000 tons.
95,000 tons. That's
right.
2,000 pounds per ton, 95,000 times that.
Right. Just hit that ship in a support.
Or what Steve deadlifted last week.
Come on. But, I mean, it just, like, and that for me is where it's just like, guys, think about how big of a, I mean, that's, like you said, two football fields, right? And it hits it at a support beam. So, like, you just imagine the amount of, like, just torsion that is twisting that bridge up. Fighting against itself and gravity in the ship that's still moving into it.
And by the way, a tide that comes in and out every day, not to mention the flow of the river.
Right. So, I mean, I guess, like, you know, if you're placing blame, I don't think is the appropriate thing to do here. You know, you just had this freak accident that happened. And, you know, you want to get into the conspiracies. So there were conservative, you know, talking heads out there saying, well, this is because of Biden's DEI and the aggressive policy of the left. And it's like, well, the only problem with that is that the ship hails from fucking Singapore.
Well, Biden has a lot to do with the Singapore.
Right? Like, what? Like, I don't understand.
This is the thing we talk about all the time. You don't need to understand. It doesn't need to make sense. They can get on there and say it, and there's no accountability. I am not trying to take away their First Amendment rights. I just wish their consumers would say, okay, little boy, you've cried wolf a lot of times, and I ain't seen a fucking wolf yet.
I mean, this isn't even crying wolf.
It's the woke agenda.
Right? This isn't even, like, this is, like, that's just, they just said it. Like, they didn't even know. I think they just assumed that it was an American ship, right? Like, they knew nothing about it. Clearly, they knew nothing about it.
When it was going on in the morning and I'm getting ready in my hotel room, I didn't know. I thought it was an American ship going to Singapore. It was a ship from and to Singapore.
Right. I mean, so it just the idea that somehow Biden is to blame for the business practices of the ship that hit the bridge because the power went out, right? Like, I mean, like think about the ridiculous jumps you have to make to get there. Now that you, and it didn't take long for people to figure out where the ship was from, right? Like they tend to track that stuff pretty well. So you didn't need to rush out and just say anything, right? Like you could have waited, but I don't even know if it matters.
Oh,
right?
I think the goal is get out there first.
Right. Like, if someone may have told them, hey, it's a ship from Singapore, or no one did, right? And it's like no one even at Fox even asked whether or not, like, where the ship was from, and, you know, is it a company that even has DEI practices, right? Like, they just said it.
Because it triggers things. Like I said, I didn't wake up to it, but one of the conspiracies I saw was a senator from Missouri saying it was because of the woke practices. I'm like, all you have to do now is use the word woke.
Right.
Or DEI. Or critical race theory. Just say those words. Yep. And suddenly it's the bad guys on the left that are ruining the country and we need to take our country back.
Right. And then people saying that it was a Russian terrorist attack. And then there were people saying it was terrorists from the Middle East that came up through the border that were able to get on the ship.
I did not hear that one.
And
oh my God.
Cut the power so that it would crash into the bridge.
All right.
You wanted to get into it.
I did. And you know, it's important because, again, people should hold their sources, I'm using that term with air quotes, accountable. Because when someone tells you ridiculous nonsense time and time again and it doesn't come true time and time again, will you eventually please?
I mean, like, think about it. These ships have manifests and bills of lading and all this documentation of who's on the ship, who's not on the ship. Like, that's not just U.S. requirements. That's international requirements. Like, and especially dealing, like, I've shipped things internationally, large things that have to come on ships like this, right? And I went
from
through
places.
Right, from places, like, in the Middle East that have to cut through
The Red Sea or the Suez Canal.
Yeah, the Suez Canal and through Europe and, you know, into the port of New York. And the amount of paperwork, and you need logistics companies, and insurance, and all these other things. So all that shit is being processed, so you can get all that information. Like, you can have access to it. You can know exactly what you're talking about, so you don't have to make up things, but they don't care, right? And it's blatant. Like, they're not even trying to hide it. Like, they're just saying shit at this point.
Yeah. And it works. It gets them money. It gets them, and it's disgusting. And again, I am not in any way suggesting we should restrict free speech. At the same time, I'm saying there should be a consequence for spewing nonsense. That just drives me insane. And it also, like I said, the whole event, while six losses of life is tragic, could have been a whole lot worse. And when I drive over bridges and have, you know, stress, this is the sort of thing I think of, even though it is a one in a million plus event. All right. So Trump had his bond reduced from like $454 million to $175 million, which he apparently can get put up. The sequence of events and everything going on there is just weird. It's just so bizarre to see a guy who's running for president of the United States, defending himself through the stuff, and then selling products left and right. He came out with a Bible that includes a copy of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence.
It's got the U.S. flag, like, stamped on it, on the front, like, in, like, embedded in the leather.
I didn't. You know what?
You didn't see the cover of it?
You know what? It showed up, and I didn't.
Yeah, it's. I mean, it's.
It's what you'd expect.
Right? Like, I mean, and to see, you know, Christians embracing it, right? Like, not only embracing it, but not condemning it and actually going out and buying it, right? Well, self-proclaimed Christians, like, it's insane, right? And I'm not a huge religious guy, but, I mean, my father was a Baptist minister, and I went to Catholic school most of my life. I mean, my law school was Catholic, my grade school, high school, all, you know, so yeah. I just been
and
surrounded.
I'm Catholic as hell.
I've been surrounded by religion my whole life, and so I at least know what it is and have respect for what it stands for. And stamping the American flag all over it and eagles and putting in a copy of the Constitution, especially of a democratic country that literally has, like, hey, we don't have a specific country religion because that leads to bad things. Big part of our Constitution, and yet he's just shitting all over it, you know, with, you know, shoes, perfume, a Bible, right? And people are just like, oh, he's not, like, he's just a good businessman, right? Like, the shoes, Right? Gold shoes, perfume, and a bike. Like, that's a Looney Tune. Right? If you're watching Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck, and they were making fun of someone, like a politician, right? That's the sort of shit that would be in a Looney Tune back in the fucking 60s.
Yeah. And it's our reality in 2024. I don't know if any of this will come back to affect him politically. I frankly don't think it will. People are buying this.
Like his supporters and are they buying it in droves? I mean, they're buying it, which is insane. And he's making money off of it. Now he's also bleeding a ton of money. Even though his bond got reduced in the trial in New York, like he's still losing a lot of money.
So you're only shell game in so many places, and right. When paying the government a bond, you can't say, "Oh no, this is worth that." You got to go, "All right, here's the money."
Right, and so the bond being reduced helps him. The selling of this merchandise, it is what it is. But his big sort of move to start to generate money again was taking Donald J. Trump Media public, right? Like, so that's Truth the company, Social, yep. Yeah, that and that's the company that Truth Social is under. It's interesting because the valuation of the company is at $11 billion.
Really?
Okay, $11 billion. Which your surprise is everybody's surprise who knows anything about company valuations and the market.
Twitter sold for $44 billion when my boy Elon bought it.
So the number is incredibly inflated. It doesn't match the financials or the fundamentals of market valuations and trading, right? Like, so I think the shares got up to something like $78 a share.
So I'm sorry, this is total ignorance. It's happened. It is now Truth is now a publicly traded company.
Yes.
Okay.
Right, with $11 billion valuation, with like I said, shares got up to about $78 a share. They ended up settling back down, I think, in the mid-50s, maybe $58, $56 a share. So ends up being like a modest increase, which is down from that original number. But it's just the market cap, like all of it, is typical Trump, right? It's like if you're going to...
Exactly who's on trial for.
Well, I mean, it's just you have to wonder... who's buying these shares at these prices, and what are they basing this off of? Because Truth Social is sort of the biggest brand under Donald J. Trump Media, and they're losing subscribers. It's not really profitable. You've got the fact that he's under indictment, and they're, trying to pull money from the RNC, and they're doing this fundraising, and, you've got money that he's paying out in other cases. You've got money that is tied up in real estate. So the whole thing with Donald Trump, and now you could sit there and say, well, that's him personally, but so much of his personal and business is intertwined, and he's trying to shove a lot of different things under this Donald J. Trump Media sort of branding. So all of those things are tied together. And when you tie it all together, it just doesn't track that the valuation is that high, the shares are trading that high. And so if you're throwing your money into this, you have to be careful because that bubble could burst. And that if you bought at $68 a share and you're still holding, right, or you bought at, 70 some odd dollars a share and you're still holding because you think it's going to go up, but there's nothing to support the high valuation and the high trading and everything else. And it's already they already stopped trading on it at one point in time when it first opened because of volatility. You have to be afraid that the bottom is going to fall out, right? And then you're going to be sitting there holding at 67, 68, maybe 70 plus dollars a share, and then it bottoms out to 20
or
10 or pennies, right? And then your stock is worth nothing, and you lose your money.
What's the company in Wolf of Wall Street? Steve Madden shoes?
Yeah.
Suddenly Steve Madden is selling off all the shares in his... And it wouldn't shock me if a lot of the shares that are being bought in Truth Social or Donald J. Trump Communications, whatever, are inside trading.
Right.
And that's something that has to be disclosed, correct? Yeah, People have to know to look.
There's...
We need Market Ben back on. I'm sorry.
Well, no. It's
not for this, but...
Well, no, for this, right? I mean, because there's a lot of implications that you know, if there's anything shady going on with this, right, then the SEC and other watchdog organizations are going to be all over it, and they're not going to be able to hide it, right? And the problem with Donald Trump is he's so loud, he's got to talk, everything's got to be big and brash. It draws attention,
right?
Right, and then so if he gets caught up in something, people are going to say, oh, you're targeting him again, and this is another witch hunt. But again, and they're like, why didn't you go after these other companies that also do this? It's like, because they're quiet about it, right? No one's paying attention to them, right? Right now,
they
how
don't,
could...
They don't, yeah,
right?
They don't
like
shake the cage.
The SEC right now, everybody's paying attention to Donald Trump and what he's doing because he's talking about it. He's got his surrogates talking about it. So the SEC, that's what they're focused on. So some of these other companies are like, oh, well, while he's doing all that over there, I'm going to do this over here. Right, so maybe that other company gets away with it because of what Donald Trump is doing, right? But even before then, again, people were quiet about it, right? Like, if you know you're doing, like, you don't want to bring a lot of attention to yourself, and he does the opposite.
It's like cheating in cycling. Like, everyone's doing it, but everyone shuts up about it. One guy's like, look at me.
Right, and it's just, so.
I don't know why that popped in my head, but.
Yeah, that is weird. And I'm not sure, but whatever. It's just. If you're out there and you're trying to be objective and you think it's a good idea because there's something in it that you see that you don't think other people are seeing, or you think that other people are biased because it's Donald J. Trump, I just am warning you, if you understand...
Be prepared for disappointment.
Well, if you understand trading, then just, you know, I hate to use this term, but do your research and you know where to look. You know, if you're an experienced trader, which chances are, if you're an experienced trader, you're probably staying away from this, right? Or if you're an experienced trader that's not staying away from this, then now are you letting your bias, are you letting your bias for Trump because he's a businessman or whatever, sort of cloud your judgment here?
Which is cult-like behavior, and we've been over this
exactly.
A hundred times.
You know, and that's the concern, is that you've got a lot of his followers and fans and people who agree with him politically that are doing this, right? But then at some point in time, what if they all get some sense about what, or let's say the stock starts to slide a little bit, and then people start to wake up and like, why is the stock sliding? And then they start to do their research, and they're like, wait a minute, this is a terrible idea. They get their money out, and then maybe you have a run.
Is
of
it,
people
doesn't Twitter them. Lose money?
Yeah.
So the best company
in this industry.
I mean,
the last I saw, yes. But that's a lot of that has to do with Elon Musk and the way he runs the company.
I'm sorry, right? I meant X. Does X lose money?
Yeah.
There's that.
You know, and Twitter had an issue with making money for a long time, right?
Yeah.
I mean, like, and they eventually sold, and they were starting to get things turned around, and they sell it to Musk, and he's doing whatever he's doing with it. But, you know, to your point, like, it's hard to... make for these social media companies, especially these startups, to kind of break in and really drive revenue that makes a mark. You know,
right.
I mean, because
if
it's
Facebook
already...
had a competitor, they would have a hard time breaking in. Well, Truth Social, other than having DJT attached to it, is irrelevant. Do we still have an account?
We never had one on Truth Social.
Oh, I thought we did. Okay.
No. We had one with, what was it, Parler or whatever.
What was the
it was
Facebook
Parler
one. Okay.
We had an account on Parler, and then that went sort of tits up, and then you know
what
so
was the Facebook one?
What Facebook one?
Facebook had a social media
I mean, they have Instagram, they have WhatsApp.
No, they had like a Twitter
competitor. That's Threads.
Threads, yeah. We had a Threads account.
We still do.
Okay.
Yeah, we still
have
do.
We used it?
Not recently.
Has anyone used it?
Well, because I started my own personal Threads account, and then I forgot to switch back and forth, and then I was just making political rants as my own personal self and mixing in fitness.
I give you shit, but I did that with our old Stephen Jim Fix the World.
Yeah, so it got confusing. So now I'm mostly on Threads personally. X, I'm mostly on as us, as Whiskey Congress, even though I do have a personal. And then I don't do much with our social media on Instagram under Whiskey Congress. And then our Facebook thing got deleted.
Okay. I did not know that.
Facebook like had all these rules, and they wanted us to do all this stuff, and then it was like giving up all this access and rights, and they were going to put all these political ads that we didn't have a choice on whether or not we wanted them on there. They were just going to do them. And it was kind of a big part of why they got, you know, a lot of these social media companies got in trouble. And so they ended up just deleting our Facebook account. Well, it's weird.
They're lost. Ronald McDaniel was hired by NBC for a day. Former head of the RNC.
Has she been officially fired yet, though?
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you sure?
I've heard it said on NBC. So there's my source. I have heard that said, that it actually did happen. I mean, there's probably some clause in the contract that says you can't do this or that, and maybe she's...
Oh, yeah. So I guess she has been officially dropped, but, I mean, that was a mess.
Yeah.
It was a mess. I mean, and...
And I got very mixed thoughts about this, but I'll...
I do, because, you know, essentially she gets pushed out because, aside from, you know, viewers, you know, being pissed about it, like, there, you had on-air personalities across all of NBC brands that were like, look, if you hire her, we're not going to work for you. And, you know, that's, it's their right to say it. There was a lot of emotion behind it. And NBC ultimately just decides, all right, we're going to piss off literally not only our base of viewership, but our labor force. So maybe this is the wrong move, and they let her go.
I turned on something that was showing Rachel Maddow's response. And I've got very mixed feelings about Rachel Maddow. I think she's intelligent. I have a huge beef with her because when Air America was a radio station that had Mark Maron and Mark O'Donnell, I think was his name, doing a morning show, I loved it. And then Rachel Maddow took over and tried to be funny. And while she's intelligent and articulate, she is not funny. I'm in my hotel room in Baltimore, and I don't get a lot of entertainment. So I watch way more South Park than is probably healthy for me. And I know it's right up your alley that I'm doing that. But so I see her talking about basically, if you hire this person, I can't work here anymore.
Wait, on South Park?
No, sorry. That was a
okay. Oh, you're
Rachel
watching.
Rachel Maddow.
Yeah, okay. You're watching MS. I thought you were watching like an episode of South Park where they were making fun of Rachel
Maddow. No, that would be awesome.
They have.
They've done it?
Oh, yes.
Okay. About this specific?
No, not this.
Okay. I'm sure they made fun of Rachel Maddow on that show. But I'm watching her go off. I'm like, who is she talking about? And then I looked into it and I said, I have very mixed feelings about this because I do want people who have differing views to interact. And one of my big complaints is people who say, I don't want to talk about blank. I don't want to, like, let's talk. Talking is the way you learn things and understand things. Ronald McDaniel was an election denier, which tells me a lot about you. And it wouldn't make me at all uncomfortable if whenever she was on MSNBC or NBC, if they had former election denier under her name, I'd be like, own it. You did it. You got to own it. But to not want her on the air kind of bothers me.
It bothers me too. And I also wasn't a huge fan of what they did, right? So the first day she's on, they kind of, bombarded her. That's not the right word, but it was like kind of like a surprise
harassed
attack.
Harassed her.
No, it was more like a surprise attack where they, now look, what they did was appropriate. They called her out on all the different things that she aligned with during her time as the RNC chair, right? You know, supporting, you know, the election denials and, you know, backing pretty much if Trump said it, then it was good. And if there was anything against Trump, that was bad. And then they, you know, held her to account for some of these different things, whether it was the election or January 6th or, you know, whatever. You know, when he was talking about banning Muslims, all these sort of different things. And, you know, they did it, and I don't have a problem with them calling her to task. I don't like the surprise, you know, like if she wasn't prepared for it, like at least give her a heads up, but that's a professionalism thing, whatever. But I could also see why the strong pushback against her, right? Like if she's going to get up there and say, because what she said, her response was, look, in these political positions, these different jobs, sometimes you got to take one for the team. You got to go along with what the play is. And that's what I was doing, right? That's her response. That's her explanation of her actions while she was the RNC chair. It's a shitty answer. I guess it's honest. I don't know. Like, because my question is, did you really believe those things? Or did you know that they were bullshit? Right? Because her answer and her response doesn't really answer those questions. And I think if you're going to put her on, you can put her on and she can be a counter opinion, a counter thought, you know, a look into the mind of people in this space. But at the same time, if she's just going to kind of poo-poo it, or what if she gets on there and she just uses that as a platform to not really be accountable, but to just be another talking head for Trump, right? Like we just said, that's dangerous, right? And so I'm not saying it's right or wrong whether they pushed her out. I have my issues with it on both sides. I have issues with bringing her on and giving her a platform, but at the same time, should her working for Donald Trump preclude her from being able to work in that field? Right, and ultimately, it's a decision. NBC is a private company, so
a public company.
Or they're traded publicly, but they're not a government entity. Is what
correct.
I mean.
I'm sorry. Yes.
And so they can run their business how they want, according basically to the wants and needs of the shareholders. Right.
Sure.
So
and that's where they should be held the most accountable. Is you made this decision, you have to back out of it in a day. That tells me how bad your decision makers
right.
are. This reminds me of a couple things. One was Rush Limbaugh on the Sunday morning NFL show, where he was being a complete...
You knew who he was when you hired
him.
When he was who he was, then you turned around and fired him. They did that with Rush Limbaugh. They did that with Dennis Miller. Although Dennis Miller lasted
a little bit longer,
right? Like, I think he was a season or two. But again, you knew who these people were when you hired them. So, you know... How could you be surprised when they are who they are?
And I'm going to go down a road that you're going to react to. I don't know which way. But in terms of making her answer for her past wrongdoings, it reminds me of Jeffrey Toobin.
No.
It's like, okay, we all know what happened. You did it. You did this. Let's start fresh. And with Jeffrey Toobin, they made him do a public apology. If you don't know what happened, look it up.
No, I'm going to tell you what happened if you don't know. Jeffrey Toobin, CNN analyst and contributor, on a Zoom call with his coworkers, he thought his camera was off. There was a coworker that he apparently was intrigued by sexually and unzipped his pants, whipped his man meat out, and started...
I'm glad you're being professional.
And started tugging away. Tugging Toobin.
But the point... Toobin... Doing a Toobin became a... Okay, I should not have...
Either way...
But the point is, when he got back on CNN, they said, Jeffrey, we need to address this issue. I'm like, no, you don't.
I think that was the right thing to do, though.
I disagree.
Right? It's because of the subject matter, right? And you're so weird about it. Like, I mean, that's no, Catholic school
I'm
kid.
Just saying,
look, he needed to own it. Listen, if they were bringing him back on the air, you can't just let that hang out there as it's fucking... 800-pound gorilla in the room.
Very generous, interesting words.
Right? I think they did the right thing. It was just awkward subject matter to talk about.
Look, I don't give a shit.
If he got a DUI and they did the same thing, you wouldn't have an issue with it.
I think I would actually have the same stance. I would just be like, okay, we know this happened.
No, but I mean, like that's the wrong response, though. Here's the reason why. We don't want people to do it again, right? Now, most people know not to pull their cock out and start jerking off during a Zoom meeting.
I just opened the door wide open for
you. And people should know not to drink and drive or whatever. But if you're not gonna fire the person, then there is a little scarlet letter humiliation that needs to go on with it. So fine, you want your job back, then you need to publicly acknowledge the bullshit that you did, right? Own it, apologize for it, be sincere, and then we will move on. Right, you need to do this to make penance.
That's reasonable. Right?
Like the dude jerked off in front of everybody. Like the whole thing about privacy and moving on, he killed it. He did it on Zoom.
In his defense, he was on two calls at the same time. He only turned off one of them.
What?
I think that's true. I think that's
It doesn't matter. How is that a defense? Who jerks off in front of their camera? Like, what? What are you doing upstairs, Jim?
You want to know?
Not really.
After dark.
Now I think I do. I mean, who immediately jumps off of a Zoom call and is like, man, I need to fire one off? I just don't
know. I've had some great Zoom calls. All right.
I'm having the wrong Zoom calls.
Yeah, you're that's on you.
I guess. My Zoom calls don't make me horny. I'm sorry.
You don't have... Never mind. I'm going to bail on this because it's in everyone's best interest if I do. So RFK Jr. chose a VP nominee, and it was not Brett Favre or Jesse the Body Ventura. It was...
You mean Aaron Rodgers.
What did I say? Brett Favre. Ah! Yes, I did mean Aaron Rodgers.
So he picks Nicole Shanahan, and man, this is interesting. So Nicole Shanahan, she's
I don't know nothing about her.
She's a lawyer. First of all, she's a, like her background is an, is a, is as an attorney, but she essentially started this fund that funds various very progressive. Left-leaning causes, right? Like, she's looking for innovation and, you know, passion to deal with criminal justice reform and equality and sustainability and opportunity for those who don't have it and helping people, right? Like, all things that are very left-leaning, progressive, democratic. You know, and the other thing about RFK is that he also supports these things, right? He goes off the rails with the, you know, vaccine sort of stuff and everything with COVID. And he can get sucked into the world of conspiracy a little bit, which is why people like Alex Jones and, you know, Joe Rogan, you know, they all love him.
Sure.
But then when you start to look at some of his other stances and then you look at his VP pick and what she stands for, and she's not like she's not just some socialite now. She is a pretty face.
Yeah, I've seen a picture.
She's an absolute smoke show. But you know, which if this were Trump, it would be you know. But RFK also has a little bit of a thing with the you know with
well,
his Instagram
Kennedys
stuff.
Well, the Kennedys do have a history of
there's all sorts of whatever. But aside from that, like she's not just a pretty face. Like she's got. Experience as a corporate level attorney, high level. She, you know, is the head of this fund, and this fund is not a joke. I mean, they're pumping out millions and millions of dollars into some of these different causes. You know, hundreds of thousands of dollars going into different. Like, I was sitting there looking at her fund, and I'm like, we may need to reach out to her, right? For panty, because some of the stuff that she's supporting is right in the wheelhouse of what we're trying to do in terms of building sustainable, resilient, affordable housing, right? Like, so our company checks boxes that she supports, right? So now all of
why
a sudden...
Why don't you have Whiskey Congress and us telling
no,
the truth?
No.
So I've got nothing to gain from this. Okay.
No, well, you do. You have plenty to gain from our success. You stop it, sir. I take care of my people. But it made me rethink sort of the impact that RFK Jr. can have because if he is able to start to get his full message out and he's not talking about vaccines and he starts to narrow his focus on some of these different issues that are directly affecting inner cities, urban and you know, urban settings and, you know, lower income people, poor people, minorities, Black, Hispanic, Latino, like, you know, another big thing that she supports too is immigration reform, but making sure that we're doing things to help those that are coming into the country to set them up for success as opposed to the current situation that essentially sets them up for, you know, a very
living
hard
shadows,
life, right? And ultimately failure, right? But even, and then you take into the fact that for a lot of people coming into the country, whether illegally or seeking asylum, you know, the shitty situation that they come into in the U.S., living, you know, in a crowded home with a family member or living in public housing that is subpar and, you know, working in a kitchen or working in the fields or working construction or all the different jobs that immigrants come in this country and do that a lot of Americans don't want to do or don't do well, is still better than what they came from, right? And so her whole thing is let's make that situation better for them so that they can be productive members, so they're not falling into these stereotypes that conservatives label them with. And if you start to get that message out, people, it's going to resonate with some people.
But what you just said is the key. You've got to get that message out. And
but the issue is, I don't think it's going to resonate with enough people for them to win. Right? But it's going to resonate from
Biden
or Trump or whoever, right? And throw the entire thing into flux. But that doesn't mean you silence them. That doesn't mean that you poo-poo them and try to sweep them under the rug and ignore them. I think you have to acknowledge them. But again, it's going to, if they actually want to make an impact, and this is not ideal, right? Because you know it's going to be either Biden or Trump, and I think it's going to be close. But if you're going to do it, then do it right. Get the message out. Get the right message out. Get away from the vaccine stuff. Get away from some of the weird shit that he's talked about in the past. And just focus on the different, the truly impactful things that you want to do. And I'm telling you, that message is going to resonate. And they're going to be an issue. Because even if they only get 3% of the vote, right? Like, this race is going to be that narrow. Where that 3% of the vote is going to impact it for either one of the guys at the top.
You're definitely too young to remember it because I'm barely old enough to remember it. But in 92, Ross Perot.
I do remember Ross Perot.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, because my grandmother loved him. So I had to watch the debates with him and the charts in his ears.
He was a weird-looking guy who had huge ears, and he made fun of himself saying,
remember, if you got a better idea, I remember they made fun of ears. Him. I think Dana Carvey made fun of him on SNL.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
I think
Dana Carvey did George Bush. I don't know if he did Ross Perot as well. He might.
Somebody
have.
Did Ross Perot. I think it was Dana Carvey,
my point is he was on the debate stage.
Yes, with and Bill my point is that I remember.
Okay, and my point is that I want RFK Jr. on the debate stage with.
Yeah, I mean, Trump I think he needs to be, and right. Because he's saying the right things now. Look,
also his voice is. I mean, you brought it up multiple times. His voice is horrific,
and it's one of those things where. Look, if he were to get momentum, so he decided to pick a real VP candidate. Now, does she have the experience that you would want for a person in that position? I mean, she's only 38 years old, and she is a powerhouse at 38. But, I mean, you know, there are some people that are going to go to the experience sort of thing. I guess the argument is who is really ready for that role? No one really sure. is.
You can go from a reality show host to president, so right. She's fine.
I mean, but if you think about the very limited experience that Obama had, right,
right.
as
Four
president,
years as a senator, yeah.
and ends up, you know, plenty of people out there who would argue he was, you know, one of our greatest, you know, top five presidents of all time. Some will put him number one. If he can do it, why can't she as vice president? But, you know, like, so if he were to catch momentum, could I see myself voting for him? The voice is terrible. The some of the vaccine stuff is, but everything else is pretty decent. I think.
You know what?
I don't know where his stance is.
We're going to have this argument in October when I tell you when I was going to vote for Gary Johnson.
No, don't throw your vote away.
Yeah, absolutely.
What thing. I mean is, no, because Jill Stein or Gary Johnson were never polling above
2%.
2%. Yeah. I'm saying if he starts polling 30%.
In the 30s? Okay.
If he starts polling in 30%, then you got to think about it. Right? But if you're in single digits in October, right? Like
No, I can see it.
It's not a second thought at all. Like, I'm not voting for him.
And
I don't have time for that. But
and that's why I want him on the debate stage. Because I want him to be heard.
And that's what I'm saying. Now, you can't get up on the debate stage and try to go crazy. You can't go, what they say, chop a thunder. You can't go full retard, right? Like, you got to get up there, and you got to stick to your guns. And if they try to pin you down on that, you got to pivot. You got to pivot away from it. And you get him on a debate stage, and he starts polling higher, right? Like, you can get him to 10%, and then the next you get him to 12 or 14, and maybe there's one more. And he gets a late surge, right, when people are like, well, I mean, you know. I don't know.
Well, and I'm going to kind of parry what you just said and say that you can't go full retard. I can't believe you went there. Actually, I could totally believe you went there.
Of course you can.
But, and Tom Cruise's role in that movie cannot be brought up
get
enough.
Get to your point.
If he gets to the stage, I don't know.
If he gets to the stage,
exactly.
He's
let,
got
let
a chance.
Let me hear. Oh, what I was going to say is, if you have these things out there and you said these things and you then make them sound logical, because a lot of times, and this is a total criticism of the media in general, you know, something gets said. We were talking earlier about Sarah Palin at lunch, and she never actually said, I can see Russia from my house. Mm-hmm. She basically said, but yet that became a left-wing talking point, like repeat it, repeat it, repeat it. If he can get up there and say, okay, I was criticized for this, just kind of like Ross Perot's I'm All Ears. I was criticized for this. Mm-mm. Here's the point I was trying to make, nope. And it makes sense.
Nope. Don't do that.
What?
Don't do that.
Don't do what?
What you just said. Don't do that. Don't acknowledge it. Right? No, you can't, right? It's 2024. We can't do that. We can't play the game the right way. You have to play by the new rules. The new rules are don't be sensible, right? Don't be logical, right? But I think for him, he needs to focus on the I know how important the vaccine thing is to him. I believe he believes what he talks about. But
which is critical, right?
I'm playing the role of Robert F. Kennedy Jr. campaign manager. Right. And, you know, so that means I'm, you know, trying to do something inappropriate with the VP, but we'll worry about that later.
And it'll be in the Inquirer. I'm the bad guy, by the way. Okay. All right.
But what it means is, Robert, I know how important the vaccines are to you, but if you want to win the election, you have to stay away from it. If they bring it up, it is a trap. They're trying to trap you. They want you to say something that goes against the accepted science. They want you to get into that argument and debate. You are not a doctor, okay? You're a lawyer, right? And you were a good one. So let's do what you're good at, right? Let's stay away from the thing that you don't actually know about. I get you've done your research, but again, you're not a doctor. You're not a scientist. But what you are is someone who cares about these issues. And these issues are important. And the way you've got it mapped out, this can help people. This needs to be the thing. These need to be the things that you focus on. These need to be the things that you can't. You have to go back to. If you do that, we have a chance. If you start talking about vaccines and you start talking about the theoretical conspiratorial bullshit, you will lose this election and you will stick us with either Donald J. Trump, who is a threat to democracy, or Biden, who's too fucking old to be in the position. It is your choice what happens here for it. But you want to win this thing, leave that shit behind.
This is one of these situations that through our friendship, there's a million times where I completely disagree with you, but I know I'm wrong. And I know I'm wrong. Look, example I'm going to give is, I always argue, like, why would Budweiser spend money advertising in the Super Bowl? Everyone knows them. Everyone knows their product. If you like it, you like it. If you don't, you don't. Why are they spending $6 million for 30 seconds? But they are, and it's working for them. And so it's one of those things where I'm just logically in my mind, I stand by everything I've said, and I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I can tell you why Budweiser does it. Budweiser does it because they make the $6 million that they spend pales in comparison into the billion that they make every year.
But they don't get more for spending that money.
They do. They get a, like, if you can, look, what are they, it's not just the money they spend on the commercials. It's the signs that they put that are related to the commercial, the cardboard cutouts that they put up in the stores, that they put up in the bars, right? You walk into a bar and they've got Budweiser shit everywhere. What do you do? Give me a Budweiser, fine. You're not doing it because you want a Budweiser. You're doing it because there's a giant sign in front of your fucking face.
I know you're right.
And you see the commercials.
I know you're right.
Because the commercials don't just air during the Super Bowl. They show snippets of the commercials a month before the Super Bowl, and they show snippets of the commercials after the Super Bowl, and you're seeing it over and over and over again. And then you walk into a bar, and just give me a Budweiser. Give me a Bud. Bud Light. Bud Zero. Bud, whatever.
I know that my take is wrong. It's just my brain doesn't process it the same way. And that's exactly what's going on here. Like, my brain does not process run away from the vaccine.
Right. And that's
my
why
brain does sound logical.
Exactly. And that's how he loses. Right. Because what is my thing? Right. You want to win? Because you can only fuck with me. You only hire me if you want to win. Because I'm going to drive you down the path to win. I don't care about moral victories. I don't care about this. I care about you hired me because you said you want to win, right? So we're going to do it this way. I'm not going to break any laws. I'm not going to break your moral code. I may hurt your feelings. I may have you do something that you don't want to do or tell you that you can't do this other thing that you really want to do, but I'm doing that because it's going to take us down the path to victory.
You know, I grudgingly say this, but if I was ever to run for office, I would hire you. Because I think you are, and I'm looking at the Carolina Reaper chip saying, you say you would do these things. I ate that fucking Carolina Reaper chip for our show. So, now, you didn't pressure me to do it. I think I opened the whole idea up.
I told you not to do it. Multiple times.
All right.
Not only did I not pressure you to do it, I told you.
You hosted the fucking event. Look Jim, for it
once
on YouTube.
You're a grown man, so once you decided to do it and your opponent was a woman, that was on you, right? So now at this point, like, what am I going to do? Not be there? Not? I don't know if you can call me being there supportive.
Anyone listening, you know, I can definitely not call it that. If you want proof that you were supportive, watch us on YouTube. If you Google Whiskey Congress on YouTube, that's the first thing that pops up. And our interview with Tom Licks from Cleveland Whiskey, which I've not had any Cleveland Whiskey in a long time. But I need to
me neither.
You either, for different reasons. All right, man, we should get towards wrapping it up. But a couple of key, or interesting, whatever the word is. Joe Lieberman passed away. Louis Gossett Jr. passed away this week. And Joe Lieberman is a very interesting political figure. He was a senator from Connecticut. He lost a primary, ran as an independent, and won re-election. And then he caucused with the Democrats again. So he basically abandoned the Democratic Party, showed them, hey, I have more broad appeal than you wanted to admit, wins re-election, and says, I'll come and play with you guys again, but...
On my terms.
On my terms.
And he did. I mean, and I remember when McCain was running against Obama, there was a strong sentiment of Lieberman and McCain running on sort of a mixed ticket. McCain ultimately ends up being advised not to do it because most large part of Lieberman's pro-choice stance on abortion, you know, McCain's people thought that McCain needed to be with someone who was going to be pro-life.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they end up pairing him with Sarah Palin, which is, you know,
didn't go great.
Did not go great. She's not doing great. And, you know, I don't know what a weird saga that was. But Lieberman, and who knows what happens if Joe Lieberman is on that ticket with McCain, right? Like maybe it ends up being
people like me would have been on the fence.
Yeah,
I
was going to vote for Obama no matter what. I think at that by the time they were making that decision, but it would have been interesting to see how that would have gone. You know, a mixed ticket, and you know, people with differing views and opinions, and who knows how that might have worked out. You know, because you have to wonder then how Congress and Senate play together at that point, right?
Yeah.
You know, because Lieberman, because think about it, like Lieberman would ended up as the vice president being the tiebreaker vote. And so how, you know, the makeup of the Senate at that point is interesting, right?
Yeah. And with McCain being, I mean, I know the term maverick gets thrown around all the time and it becomes almost cliche. You know,
it was his like nickname.
Right. Whatever. Right. But, you know, he was a guy who would not. He stuck by his principles. McCain stuck by his principles. Lieberman stuck by his principles. I might not have personally agreed with them, but they were people
true.
Of character.
Yeah.
And you know, had McCain...
You could rely on their stance on pretty much any
right.
topic, right?
Right.
They weren't wafflers, right? They were the opposite of, you know, Lindsey Graham.
Was like,
right? You know, I mean, like, they weren't bullshitters like Josh Hawley, right? Like, these were, you know... kind of the last of a dying breed when it comes to what a senator should be. Even if you didn't necessarily agree with their politics, you could agree with how they went about doing their politics. Now, people have their beefs with McCain and Lieberman.
Right. But mostly because they didn't follow party lines.
Right. Right.
And very much so. And that, you know, and McCain shooting down the repeal of Obamacare or the Affordable Care Act was a classic moment where he basically stood up. He gave a thumbs down, but it might as well have been a middle finger saying,
right.
Fuck y'all.
And then Kristen Sinema did the whole thumbs down thing when she voted against the health insurance thing. Remember that?
She
did a big dramatic thumbs down, and now where's Kristen Sinema? Anyway.
Yeah, there's that.
And
then Louis Gossett Jr.
Yeah, so Louis Gossett Jr., you know, kind of, I think, legendary actor and you know, time on Broadway. He did everything from, you know, Sesame Street stuff and you know, like kids shows to some, you know, his movie catalog is extensive.
Extensive, absolutely.
You know, some
and
great
Officer
movies.
Officer and Gentleman is the one that stands out with me.
Officer and a Gentleman stands out, you know, for me. Raisin in the Sun is another one that stands out, you know, for especially, you know, as African American. But then there's also some others that stand out for me, like Iron Eagle and the Iron Eagle
series. Oh, geez, I've totally... Okay, this is where you and I differ on movies.
Right, it's so bad. Like, so Louis Gossett Jr., like, dies in Iron Eagle 1, and then he comes back in Iron Eagle 3 and saves the day. Like, and it doesn't really get explained all that well. But
so yeah. If you're Louis Gossett Jr. campaign manager, you would say don't explain how you came back to life.
Yeah, let's try to pivot away from Iron Eagle. Let's just say we're proud of that series, and it was, you know, at a critical point in your career that launched you to success to do some other really fantastic movies. I just had to bring those up.
I had totally forgotten about the Iron Eagle movies.
How could you?
Because I wanted to, because they were terrible. They're like, we couldn't afford to be Top Gun, so we'll throw this nonsense at you.
Yes.
It was
that's
awful.
Literally exactly it. It's like Top Gun meets Red Dawn. but yeah, I mean, so, you know, rest in peace to both those two gentlemen. We talking football or no?
Well, we don't have to. I did want to say that he was also in the HBO series Watchmen.
Yeah.
And it took me, like, he's in the scenes with Don Johnson, and it took me several minutes to realize who was on screen. And you and I talked about this on this show 3 years ago, and you were like, that's Nash Bridges. I'm like, no, that's Sonny Crockett. No, it's Nash Bridges. No, it's Sonny Crockett. I mean, because you saw him as Nash Bridges, I saw him on Miami Vice. So there's our age difference shows up, but yeah, he was acting until a few years ago, and he was a very compelling guy.
Really good makeup job on that show, though, because he, like, Louis Gossett Jr. aged pretty well. So the makeup job that they did on that show to make him look older, which is part of the problem.
Okay.
Of what, you know, people didn't necessarily recognize him right away.
You want to talk football, or you want to call it a
day? No, it's long.
All right, we
do have to do a special football show. We got the draft coming up.
And yeah.
This is a special draft for me.
Oh, yes, it is. We'll talk about that when the time comes. I know exactly where you're going. And if you want to know, listen to the next episode of Whiskey Congress. We are at Whiskey Congress on Instagram and Twitter, or Instagram and X, whatever the fuck it is now. We are not on Truth Social. We are on Threads, and no one gives a fuck, and we're done.
This is so harsh.